much of Newark.
Co-chairman, Councilman Jay Street, President Kovac, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Diller, and Councilman Retta, and my trusty administrative legislative aide, Karen Borrell. Did I miss one? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm trying to sit over here. Our senior statesman, Councilman Penrose Hollins. And I apologize for that. I kind of was sitting over to the right.
Motion to approve the minutes of January 10th public safety meeting.
Motion made and
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. I'd like to call on Scott McLaren, our colonel, and still acting director of public safety. We had asked today to kind of get a brief update on our crossing guard program, and it's been a while since we talked about the program itself and staffing and how everything's going. And then the colonel slash director will also touch on some of the public safety current vacancies in the current academy that's in session. So with that, Colonel.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Dominic Gregory is here. He is one of the supervisors, one of two supervisors that is responsible for the crossing guards for Newcastle County. Very busy position. I've asked Dominic to give you a short synopsis of where we are with vacancies and overall, and feel any type of questions that you all might have. Dominic, if you could take the lead chair and just introduce yourself for the record.
And while he's doing that, I'd like to, for the record, to recognize Councilwoman Janet Kilpatrick is present with us. Beginning of the meeting.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dominic Gregory. As Colonel McLaren said, I'm one of two supervisors for the crossing guard office. In my office, myself. Sometimes I'm better standing. But,
okay.
If I can add on each side, it's just a piece of paper with some information. You can just pass it. I'll hit on most of those paragraphs there. But our office consists of myself and Lieutenant Schneiders, and we have one secretary in the office. Newcastle County crossing guards right now currently have 137 crossing guards. 130 are regular guards, 7 are substitutes. Crossing guard numbers have decreased through the years for a variety of reasons. One biggest being the Catholic schools. The closure of Catholic schools has decreased some of our post assignments. As well as also DelDOT now is in a mass plan of putting every intersection to PED lights. Where you push it, if you might notice it out and about in your communities, you push the pedal lights to see the countdown now. So that also will eliminate the use of guards and some post assignments. And then also, now every school in Newcastle County no longer has a kindergarten mid-school day. So there now everything is a full day, so that has decreased. So through the years, the guards have decreased because of those three reasons there. What normally happens in the situation, we're currently hiring during the year, because what happens is our workforce is a very old workforce with no age limitations. We have guards from 30 years old up to 87 years old. And obviously some of the 87-year-olds, you can't have them out in front of Glasgow High School directing traffic there. You have to be aware of the mobility physicals that we deal with the crossing guards. You know, we're in the middle of changing stuff where there's more mobile, the tester mobility, as opposed to the more traditional type hearing and vision type of things. What happens is when a guard gets hired, they train for 4 to 6 weeks with a senior guard. Then once they pass the training, they are then put in the substitution pool. A normal day in the crossing guard offices at 6 o'clock, I'll pick up the phone, and if the guards are called off sick, I then fill them with substitutes. Usually they work two posts in the morning, two posts in the afternoon. They'll do a high school, then a middle, let the children in, then they'll come back for dismissal times. Currently we do private schools, Catholic schools. We do the Colonial School District, Apoquimic School District, Red Clay, Christina, Brandywine. We do not do the City of Wilmington. They have their own crossing guard division itself. Everything is a part-time position. The guards, they average 20 hours a week. They're allowed to work up to 25, but that's the maximum. They cannot go over. The crossing guards do have a union. It's the IBEW, I believe, the electrical union. They do have a union, and they just recently had a new contract which is getting ready to get finalized within the next month or so. Let me see. Currently, also, our guards, we do issue them equipment. We've provided them with the most visible type of equipment as far as their vests and their jackets, and also we do provide them with flashlights. Also, in the summer, that we are responsible for some of the safety programs where they'll go into the school, talk to the preschools, they're showing videos, and they talk to the kids about safety and crossing the streets. And basically, that is the crossing guard unit. Any questions anyone may have?
Councilman Fargan?
Two questions.
Yes, sir.
Did we, some kind of an ordinance to give the crossing guards cell phones?
No, that was, at one time, yes, that was passed, but that is since they no longer have cell phones. To say the least, that was a nightmare. Our crossing guards, like I said, we got guards up to 86 years old. They don't believe in computers. They don't believe in cell phones. And you have to play to your crowd, and that was not a good idea. We no longer issue cell phones at all to the crossing guards.
I mean, it was a kind of concern around the table here about the safety and ability to contact and emergency.
They do. They'll carry the ones that use have their own. They all have their own cell phones, but they provide the numbers and they have it on post.
Okay.
And they know if it happens, if there is an emergency, they will use their cell phones that they have. And they do all have them when they're working their posts. Now, I will tell you, there are 85-year-olds, you can't put a cell phone near them.
Yeah.
Because they just don't want to operate it, and they actually have problems dealing with it at times. One example, our 85-year-old fell at a post, and I went there and I said, well, let me call your family member. I said, what number is he? She said, he's number four, meaning number four at the cell phone. That's all she told me. So cell phones to them are very little use on our older workforce, but they are covered out there, and if they knew you need to get in touch with us, they do.
One follow-up question. When you go to provide crossing guard service to the private schools on a contract basis, I gather, and what is the rate that we bill that out at? Or is that just...
Well, that's it with the taxes. Our budget is separate from, I guess, the public safety budget, and actually, I guess, Dave Del Grande would speak more on that than what I could.
There's a lifeline.
It's all part of it. There is a separate school tax rate. Property tax don't okay. See that. It's not broken down between public, private, so it's a general. If you live in a district, though, you get billed compared to
yes.
Different districts. It's a different rate depending on what district you're in, because depending on how many guards are needed in that district.
So we're being reimbursed out of the school tax?
No, separate tax.
Separate tax.
School crossing guard tax. You have a school crossing guard tax, light tax, and then your regular property tax. You'll see on your bill.
Okay.
All right, we have Councilman Retta, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Weiner, Co-Chairman Street. Councilman Retta.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
A couple of questions. I understand that you said that they go through training.
Yes, sir.
With a senior officer or senior crossing guard. Well, when they do that, do they take points of interest as far as where the school is that they're working and the traffic patterns?
Yeah. First of all, the posts are not set by us. They're set by the school district. At October of every year, we send out the budget request to all districts. They then send back what they need, if they need the additional guards or any additional posts. The post assignments are of no control of ours. They're from what districts. They tell us where the guards need to be. Some are right at front of the school. Some are a block or two down. Due to legal reasons, the guards do not enter the school property. They stay outside. But at times, they may train right at the entrance where it's a light, controlled by a light, or they have to manually control it. Or sometimes they're down, depending on elementaries, they hit cross streets leading up to the schools itself. So when they're trained an area where they have to work a light. They are also trained in areas where they have to manually work traffic, and then also areas where they have to work the buses coming and going. So they work different areas throughout the county in different schools.
Okay, one of the things, a couple things, different school areas. The chief knows, the one that I'm gonna speak on right now is Corpus Christi.
Yes.
Instead of having two-way in and out on New Road in front of the school. They only have one way in now.
Yes.
And what happens when all those cars are lined up in the parking lot,
yep,
the crossing guards just keep letting them out. But in the meantime, they don't control the light.
Well,
the light is run by either crossing guards letting the kids come down the street cross, or they just let it run. Because right now, I think they're computerized, so they don't really change them anymore.
Exactly, sir.
And what happens, you got stacking of the cars coming off the road of Kirkwood Highway. Now they're out in the street of Kirkwood Highway. People want to turn, they can't turn, so they're all stacked up because they're letting the cars out instead of alternating the cars.
Very, very aware of that, Corpus Christi. Very. And what actually happened there is, AAA study shows people drive their kids to school now more than ever. And if you have 10 buses go to school, you might have a total of 20 kids in those buses. The traffic, the volume of traffic with cars is out of control at Corpus Christi. You remember, that's now down to one school where everyone used to have 300 students.
Three schools in one.
Yeah, now you have 600 students with 600 people driving. So you've doubled the size of traffic in the same area with the roadways the same size. The principal of that school wants that traffic pattern that way. We make suggestions, tell them the way we need it to happen. That's a new light also you're talking about now is a ped light. It's controlled. We can adjust the times with it. A lot of the traffic there is stuff that's uncontrolled because, like I said, you've doubled traffic size in that area because the closure of the three Catholic schools in that town. They call it now All Saints. It's now All Saints. So yes, it's a problem. We are trying to work with eliminating some of that congestion in the morning. Would it be easier if we had a smaller enrollment there? Yes, but they're up. They want to get up to 700 students, and of that 700, they all drive there. And that's 700 cars in that area where before you're used to seeing 250 to 300. Yes, it's a concern of ours. We deal with it daily, and we are trying to work on things now with DelDOT and also the patterns with the principal at the school to make things, to alleviate some of the pressure there.
And the other one is the charter school on Lancaster Avenue.
Okay.
The Wilmington High.
Yes.
In the front of the school, they got the crossing guards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a shooting match there. I mean, because I'm waiting for some kid to get bumped off of the car because they just run between the buses and the cars.
Yeah.
The other is around the corner where the back of the school is. They don't have any crossing guards. They got teachers. And boy, they ought to go back to school because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, like I said, our guards don't go on the property. It's also
they're not on the property. The teachers are in the street.
The teachers are in the street, yeah.
They're in the street actually stopping cars. They don't know what they're doing. I mean,
that is something.
They ought to take driver's ed or something.
When with the charter put out there, like I said, we didn't suggest that to them. That school there, a couple things. A lot of the parents and the kids, they're supposed to come across where the guards are at. Supposed to. But the guards are not police officers. They can only instruct the kids and instruct the students to walk there. Now, hopefully, the majority of the students will do that. But do they have students that are argumentative and they're high school age kids? They walk where they want to walk. Then their parents, when we tell them don't park there and bang U-turns, the parents give the guards choice words. And so at that point, when they don't listen and they're creating traffic hazards, we'll set up radar assignments in our area or Wilmington's area or state. We'll request the police to come out there and to ticket the illegal people parking, and then they bang the U-turns in front of everybody, and then also where the kids start out. Yes, that is also another problem. The teachers that they placed at that school is they're doing. We talked to district about it. District is supposed to be working out something with the school.
Good luck.
Yes.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, a couple things. I just want to reference on the cell phones. It was 5 or 6 years ago when that program was actually kicked off at Colwick with County Executive Coons, and Verizon actually donated the phones for that program, and they were only supposed to call 911 at that time. So I do recall that. I wasn't sure how it worked out. I'm not complaining, but I have to make an inquiry. Exactly what is a crossing guard's duty? And I can clarify for you if you like, if it'll help. occasionally I get complaints, and I have seen it myself, with crossing guards who are not directly at the school, but are at an intersection where there are no children in sight, but they will perform traffic control and work the light to let cars out. A car, whatever. I've actually seen them stop, no disrespect to her, but I'm going to put it the way it is, stop traffic in an intersection to let Granny cross the street. And there's not a kid in sight. So I just need to know how to field those. I say they're working for this, for the good of the public and safety. That's how I lay it out. Probably lying, but...
No. The bottom line is they're going to provide safe passageway through the roadway. We should just be in the business of crossing kids. DelDOT does not want us operating lights. However, that's been the system that's been put in place. That's why the pedal lights are coming around more and more through DelDOT. They're trained that they're not supposed to just stop traffic for one person. That is a training purpose. If you see that, then call me, then I'll instruct and retrain that guard there. They're supposed to herd the kids up or the people, then shut traffic down, then let them across.
Primarily it is for the children, right?
Yes. But also, though, it says if there is somebody in the walkway, you know, trying to cross, do have to shut it down. But the main thing is to provide safe passageway for the children. And, you know, the stragglers, that's not supposed to happen. Does it happen occasionally? Yes, it should and it shouldn't. But if you're fielding calls for that, you call our office, give me the location. I'll go out there and talk to the guards. And if retraining needs to happen, that will happen.
And I'll just say, as far as the children crossing where they should be, the adults set the bad examples. I mean, I see the teachers. I see the parents. I see, everyone else.
Yeah.
Avoiding going across where they're supposed to go. So, the adults set the bad example. And wonder the kids feel that they don't have to.
Exactly. That's the problem through all the, a lot of the kids, too, especially high school. You go down Middletown, they put that new crosswalk in down there. A waste. You could put one all down through that school. Them kids cross where they want to cross. And, they don't listen to the guards. The guards make every attempt to get them to where they're supposed to cross, get them there. But, everyone here has teenage kids or know of teenage kids or even middle school kids. They cross where they want to. They make an exerted effort to get them there. They know that. And, if we have to, we notify the school and say, look, here's a group of kids. Here's their names. Can you talk to them? Talk to the parents to get them to cross. Sometimes it's successful. Sometimes it is not.
I'm just going to make the analogy. DelDOT put $500,000 worth of stimulus money and lights on Route 13 because people get drunk and don't want to walk at a crosswalk. Yeah. So what do you expect the sober kids to do? I don't know.
Councilman Weiner and then Co-Chairman Street.
Thanks. I have a comment. It's part nostalgia, part question. And back in the, dating myself, 1950s, I was a elementary school crossing guard. Fifth grade, you got your junior certificate. In sixth grade, you got your senior certificate. This was in demonstration school, Westchester State Teachers College. And, of course, we were only doing the hamlet of Westchester, the smaller streets. I don't know if that program would work anymore with today's liability and with today's major traffic. Certainly, the major streets in my community, I wouldn't want kids that age doing it. But does the program even exist anymore on a national level? The school crossing guard program for students. We had a white...
That's based by schools and districts. Yeah. And I'll tell you, in Newcastle County, they're not offering anything that I'm aware of at this point. We do safety town programs. We will bring the guards in and educate the kids on about crossing. But do they have any kids out there? No, and you probably hit on the head when you said liability. Mm-hmm. 1950 and 2012, years apart. Today, you kids, 1950, you could walk down the street, get a soda. Now, like I said, they don't do that, and like I said, they won't. Everybody drives their kids to school today. It's amazing,
And everyone walked to school when I was a kid.
Everybody walks, yes.
Both hills up way.
Yes, and through 10 inches of snow, right?
That's correct.
5 miles.
That's my story. I'm sticking.
Yes.
Co-Chairman Street, and then Councilman Cartier.
One, I agree with the point that Councilman Redd made about Wilmington Charter. It's a nightmare, and I think apparently Cab Calloway and the charter school are starting at the same time and ending the same time, and have I don't know if there's a separation of entrances because of the age of the kids or not. But now that he's mentioned it, I'm certainly going to raise part of some of that with the superintendent. The other is the crossing guards, not only they're doing pedestrian traffic, they're also doing bus traffic. And in some instances, there's just no getting around it. The best example that I'm familiar with is AI Middle.
Yes.
And because, number one, kids have to cross Pennsylvania Avenue, so you've got to cut all the traffic off so they can get across, and then you got to get the buses in and out. The point I was going to get to, 2 points. One, my dad was a mailman, and just like the mailmen, male women at this point, crossing guards are out there in it. And so when it's raining and the school's not closed and the wind's blowing, they're out there catching that weather, take care of people's children, and I certainly appreciate that. And two, which Chief Robert's not gonna wanna hear, but you got some folks who don't care about kids, don't care about school buses, don't care about uniforms, and just do what the hell they wanna do, whether the guard is saying stop or not. And then, it's real easy for some folks to cuss out a 70-year-old man or a 70-year-old female. And my point being, they should have some kind of protection to be able to notify somebody that they're being abused, misused, or whatever. That's my only concern. I'm not saying necessarily 136 radios, but there should be some form of protection available to them.
Right, it's to hit on the bus part. Yeah, they do have their responsibility with this. They have to let the buses out. And a lot of times, that's a priority. They have a school. They get the buses out, so they do shut traffic down. And a lot of times, parent traffic will get filtered in with the buses. But yeah, they do, and that sometimes will cause the backup. And as far as if they have problems out there, they do have ways to communicate. But I have just recently we had people up at McClary Elementary off of Apostle Park Road. We had two kids on skateboards, they're 12 years old, waiting for another kid to be dismissed, and the father was dropping them off. He would park, the kids would get out, they would skateboard right in the intersection where the buses were out, and the guard told him several times, you can't do it. Teachers came out and said, you can't do it. They blew them off, cursed at him, this and that. Finally had law enforcement out there last Friday. They talked to the family and took the appropriate action. Now it seems to resolve that. But yes, you're right. They do take advantage of 70 and 80 year old people because they feel that they're helpless, and they get abused at times verbally. And we do provide them assistance, and also we take follow up with arrest action if we can.
Councilman Gray.
No, my only point is, and I value our time, but if we got to put somebody out and make an example out of them and make sure the whole world knows that they're doing wrong things as related to children getting to and from school, and we need to expose that, maybe that'll break some of that up.
Council?
Yes. This brings to mind, now I'm segueing onto it, away from my original question, but following up on,
You mean you got more than two questions now?
Just two. what kind of protections exist under law for crossing guards? We had an incident with our code enforcement officer mm-hmm. who was beat in the line of duty by by a problem person. And I don't know, to what kind of protections exist under law if a crossing guard is assaulted or otherwise abused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If a crossing guard is assaulted, it's just like a regular civilian. They don't, under the privilege where police are not, like where the police, if they're assaulted or a paramedic, that is not anything in place where, it's a special assault because it is a crossing guard. If they get assaulted out there, the police investigate and they get arrested. Assault third for them is assault third, where if maybe it was a police officer, paramedic would be assault second.
Right.
Right now for crossing guards, it's assault third. We haven't had anybody assaulted, but what usually happens is we get people blow through their stop signs or their hands. We get people throw water bottles at them, and we get people that cuss at them. parents and people. And the thing is, people don't want to wait today. And some, you know, at times the guards, you know, sometimes they're at fault, you know, because sometimes they got to be aware of the traffic patterns. But a lot of times everybody's in a hurry today. Everybody, cell phones and distractions. So they do get verbally abused a lot, verbally abused. They get tag numbers down. If it goes, and if we can research it through the school, we can. And if we take law, if we can take law enforcement action, we can. As well as I put our TAC units in a lot of the schools where they speed in front of some of the most common, Cass Wills Elementary, send TAC units out there all the time. They ticket guys and people, you know, speeding up and down the roadway. So we do utilize them quite often in areas where they're speeding and not obeying the hand signals of the crossing guards.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you talk about postings for both students arriving in school and then dismissal.
Yes, sir.
Is it typical for the crossing guard to live in the communities where they typically get deployed, or they tend to migrate around the county, or is it, are they in one,
well,
couple different locations
we
commonly?
They try to work in the area where they live. They try to work in the same area. All right, because like I said, you know, a lot of them are seniors or on fixed income or whatever. They don't want to travel and plus mileage. It doesn't pay them. So if they live in Red Clay, they'll try to keep them in Red Clay, which we do. Mm-hmm. Colonial, they'll stay in Colonial. You know, Appaquinimic, same thing. Now, the substitutes are a different story. They'll travel, but they do get 40 cents a mile. All right, but the substitutes, usually if you live in Colonial, you can touch Red Clay, Christina, and Colonial pretty easy. If you live in Brandywine, we're not going to call you to go down to Middletown, and it's just not going to happen. So Brandywine and Appaquinimic are kind of their own separate because they're separated from the county. But Christina, Colonial, and Red Clay, you know, 141 connects you pretty much to everything. So, you know, but yes, regular guards stay close to their area where they live.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council? Anything else you'd like to add? Or all right, Co-Chairman?
I know others may disagree, but in my opinion, when you tongue lash and you threaten a senior citizen while he or she's working, it can be just as devastating to him as punching somebody else in the face. So I don't look at it as being insignificant at all.
Do you have any record of like on-the-job injuries or anything of that sort? I mean, you know, you're dealing with some senior populace here that's doing a tremendous job, but are there any stats as far as?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes I do. One concern is we have a guard out in Ellesmere, Ruthie. She's 86, everybody loves her, but she fell outside of work just recently. She's off, but last year she fell under normal conditions. You know, when you get 86, your balance is off a little bit. So for senior guards, it's just mainly their balance, they're falling. But I will tell you this, most of them 80-year-olds are burying them 30-year-olds. They'll show up. And 30-year-olds, they pull their ass under the cover, and they're cold, and they're not getting out of there. So a better question would be, is the younger workforce calling off more than the older workforce? Yes, they're weak. But that's my opinion. All
right. Second.
I agree. Sounds like a retired county cop down there.
But the older workforce, I'll tell you, like the street said, you give it to them. I'll tell you, Mrs. Wakefield down Middletown, she's been there 40 years, and she don't miss. M. Guards and Colonial, they don't miss. The older ones, Mr. Clark, 80 years old at William Penn, he's out there. We don't tell him shovels snow, but he shovels off his area because when they plow the streets, they cover their light boxes. So he shovels that, and then he goes over there, and he shovels. He said, I couldn't let Miss Helen stand in the snow. But some of their older guards, yes, they show up and they work. It's the younger ones that at times we have to worry about injuries. And just like I think the average on any workforce. But yes, the age is a concern because they are getting up there, but I don't think they're doing anything more than what the younger ones are.
And I guess to kind of go back to what Councilman Street had brought up, you know, they are public safety employees.
Yes, sir.
And they're out there trying to help and protect not just children, but, you know, I think the motorists and everything else. You know, for them to be either, vocally abused or things thrown at them,
Is there anything that we can do better from the public safety standpoint of providing them with some sort of law, some sort of protection? Because, you know, folks know they can get away with it.
Sure.
And so they continue to do it. So the thing is, you lock a few of them up, you publicize it, you know, that they're not going to tolerate it. So I guess, you know, Councilman brought up some very good points here, is that, especially at their age, and they've served many, many years in our community helping out, and then they have to put up with that frustration. So is there something from the law standpoint or anything within that we can do better to protect and show them that we're not going to tolerate folks abusing them?
Well, also due to their age, anybody, whether it's, you know, across guard, anybody over 62, assault, you know, elevates the charge because of the age. But as far as, like, a public safety figure, that's something that, you know, myself and Colonel McLaren, you know, we've talked about before. You know, we do, since I've been there, we've actively been going after people that have been abusing them. Now, if there's something that they can present to, you know, council here or something at a state level, to put something in there in, you know, the assault section, that it identifies a crossing guard as a public safety figure, which, you know, a normal assault would then elevate it to the next level. Yeah, I would be all for giving input to Colonel McLaren and any direction we need to go from there, we can.
They won't want lights and sirens then, will they?
Colonel McLaren, I'll take the lead on that, sir. I think this discussion has brought up some good points. I believe in the city of Wilmington, if you taunt or touch or do anything to a meter maid, I believe that is a separate violation of law in the city of Wilmington.
And street law says they're going to the hospital, but go ahead.
A week ago, I pulled up behind a crossing guard. She stopped the car on Possum Park Road. Yeah. I saw the arm come out the window doing all this stuff, and I saw the crossing guard do a very good job. And he just kept going like this, and the car didn't move. So I pulled up next to him in the intersection down the road. I was in uniform. Sir, was there a problem? Yes, there was a problem. How? He does not have no reason. He's not allowed to stop me, sir. Yeah, state law says you have to stop. And the guy was from Pennsylvania to boot. So he wasn't happy. Then he pulls up next to me again because he saw me writing down his tag number. And can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, you can pull over now. I said, you have an older guard out there and you're stopping, you're berating the older guard, you're lecturing them, you're holding up traffic. I have your tag number. Do it again and you're getting a ticket or several tickets. And there's some traffic violations we can hit them with, but is there anything else? We can definitely look into that.
Yes.
Because it is aggravating, and if Don makes a phone call, if he says, I have a problem with a post, we're going to take care of our people. You're not going to be taunting our 80-year-olds to show up every day and go to work. And believe me, I had them in Ellesmere. They adopt these kids. That's their family getting across the street. Something happens to them, so we will jump on it.
You have while you're up, Co-Chairman Street.
Fundamental fairness. If I go out here today and I tongue lash an officer of the law, at a minimum, I'm gonna get a disorderly charge. And at the point where somebody's space is invaded, it's gonna be a resisting charge. Well, I think those are the solutions we need to look at.
And there's loose, we could look at those laws also, where you can have disorderly conduct on a guard. And due to their age, you can pick it up a little bit. I've asked them, I went back the following day, write these tag numbers down. Always have a piece of paper in your pocket and a pen. Just write a tag number down and we'll take care of it. You know, get a hold of their supervisors. But the phones, we did do, it turned into a nightmare. Didn't have to charge them when they went to use them. We need a one button phone that goes right to 911 only if we have something like that. But it did turn into a little bit of a nightmare.
Yeah. Thank you, Colonel. We'd appreciate, you know, any further review of the safety. Councilman Cardi?
The sanctions, I think we're looking for, require state code, right?
Yes.
Changes. So that's a good one for our state legislators to help us with.
Well, I think if the Colonel comes back and determines that it would be beneficial, then I think, Councilman Smiley proved that there's things that can be taken downstate and reviewed and it'd be very successful. So I think we could do the same with things that involve our public safety. Hearing no other questions or comments from the council, anyone from the general public or have any questions or Hearing none, want to thank you very much for
taking
the time to come in. We really appreciate the job that you and Michelle and all of our crossing guards are doing.
Yes.
So.
Thanks. Everybody have a good evening.
Thank you.
Colonel?
Colonel McLaren? Thank you, Dominic. I told you it might be 1 to 3 minutes.
I knew that one too.
Next on the agenda is EMS to give a report of their staffing levels and where we are right now, if that's allowable.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Larry Tan, Chief of EMS. This is kind of a follow-up to the last Public Safety Committee where the question was, hey, could the other divisions in Public Safety give an update on staffing? We actually have some good news. We have 9 vacancies right now within EMS, and you may be looking and saying, well, how's that good news? In previous reports, we've had double digits, so this is probably the first time we've gotten below double digits. The better news is that of the 9 positions that are vacant, 4 were actually restored in funding this fiscal year. So prior to the current fiscal year, those 4 positions wouldn't have been eligible for use, so that's progress. We have 10 people that are currently on board in various stages of training or evaluation. Of those 10, 3 are in the final year of the Deltec training program. They're scheduled to graduate and take their national board sometime around September, October of this year. 7 of the 10 are what we call ready medics or selective certification candidates that are out in the field and are undergoing the field evaluation process for release to full duties.
Are they the ones that are in Deltec, are they all county employees, or are there any others in Deltec that might be favorable for open positions in the future?
The 3 that I said are in Deltec, yes, they are county employees attending Deltec. Could there be other candidates that are free agents, for lack of a better term, that could be potential candidates? There could be, we're not sure. Normally what happens is when the Deltec class, which would include both the county employees as well as the non-county employees, come out into the field internship phase, they end up riding our paramedic units, and it gives us a chance to take a look at the candidates. Our FTOs can size them up, and if we see people that are excellent clinicians, we may very well make a recruitment pitch and start them through our selection process while they're completing the requirements for graduation. I'm not sure how many of the class of 2011-2012 are free agents. I don't have that information right now.
I guess the only other question that I had was as far as the recruitment and retention piece of it, what type of sense do you get as far as the newer pension plan, as far as folks that would or might come aboard, you know, or folks that are there, has it impacted us all as far as hiring or folks leaving or not leaving?
Well, leaving, we had one individual that we had recruited that came on board, and he came on board after the November 1st implementation date. He had been through the selection process and recruitment prior to that, so he had been looking at the pension plan coming in, and when he saw that it had changed, after about a week and a half, he elected to leave and actually went up to Philadelphia. As far as whether it will create a bigger problem with recruitment and bringing people on board, we'll have to see. It's relatively new. We have a pool of people that we are processing in our selection process. Ultimately, it may come down to the individual making a decision and saying, I'm electing to go somewhere else. We'll have to see.
Thank you, Chief. Coach Jarman Street.
I would like, for purposes of future discussions, get some comparisons from other jurisdictions to see what the competition actually is.
At a future meeting, maybe an evaluation of other paramedic programs and what their pension programs are, and, you know, different impacts and things of that nature.
I believe there is, we can certainly look at that. I believe that, two contracts ago with Union Local 3911, there was a provision in the contract to actually do a study on pension plans, and I believe that had been forwarded to members of council, and included in that document were some comparisons of other pension plans as well. But that information may already be available.
If you have that, I mean, we'll check on our end, but if you have that type of information, could you forward it to all members of council?
Yes.
Thank you. Councilman Smiley?
I would just say, if we're going to look at something like that, you want to look at wages, you want to look at work hours, work schedules, work environment, healthcare costs, what's available to them, holidays. If you're going to look, you can't just look at one thing, because a lot of times that's offset over here. I remember the study that you're talking about, but I'm just saying, if you want to take a look at something like that, you know, you got to look at everything on the plate, not just the meat.
And if we're going to do that, then we also need to look at and consider the fact that we're among the top 10 in shootings in the country per capita. So that has a lot to do with environment. All the shootings in the city, y'all go check.
So maybe we need to stop doing that.
And just a side note to that, Scott McLaren, if these guys weren't exceptional doing their job, the murder rate would be much higher around here. They're on top of them, they give the best care available, and they get them to a trauma facility within the old Golden Now is referred to. So they save lives every day out there in the city of Wilmington and Newcastle County. So all of our numbers will be up a little bit higher if we can have these guys out there doing their job.
Second.
Other questions, comment from council? Okay, Councilman Redd?
Yeah, I'll just make one comment that the chief just made, Chief McLaren. If our paramedics weren't that good, we wouldn't have got the award a couple times.
Okay, hearing no other question, comment from council, anyone from the public on the EMS division? Okay, seeing none. Colonel, anything else?
Yes, sir. Well, next on the agenda is communications, real quick, if you'd like to hear an update there.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
Dave Roberts, Chief of Communications. Our current staffing, we have 8 vacancies currently. We just hired 4 emergency call operators. We are actually testing this week for the assistant chief's position in communications. We have just completed, with the help of personnel, we went through a testing process for dispatcher for the fire medical and the police communication specialist. I believe we had over 100 and some applicants, probably tested in the hundreds. So those lists are being made available to us now, so we'll be able to hire those positions. And we have also posted for our supervisor's position that was vacated, so we'll be testing and actually doing the interview for that. So we're moving along very well. We have actually, in addition to the vacancies, we had 4 emergency call operators that were just hired recently. They're in the training portion there currently. As we talk about the one of the other questions was the employees who were available to retire. Currently, the communications division, out of 78 full-time positions, has 9 positions that could retire. And then we actually go out to 2016 before we get it, 2 additional positions. Out of those positions, 3 of the members, or 3 of the employees, are staff members. 4 of them are within the fire medical communication section, and the other 2 are in police dispatch. So there's no indication that any of them are leaving at this time anytime soon. So. And one of the things with having current list and everything and the training that we have in place, we'll be able to hire individuals very quickly and get them on board.
So. Questions of council, comment? Councilman Redder?
Chief, can you send those figures over to us?
Sure.
Your career development program that, you know, we all supported back quite a while ago, where are we on that?
Yes. Currently, we're in the budget process. We've been meeting with the administration. We're discussing different avenues within the career development. So that is something that's a talk in progress. It's not something that's just laying dormant. We've been having active conversations with the administration to be able to look at how we can implement that.
Questions, comment? Hearing none, public questions or comment? Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Colonel?
Last but not least, I'll report quickly on the police department. Colonel, we have 21 recruits that are still in the academy. from Newcastle County. We have some other departments that are actively engaged in our academy. We started off with 21, and we still have 21, so knock on wood. Let's hope they stay that way. They are earmarked to graduate around May. Ever since this academy has been in, we have continued to test. We've continued to advertise, have informational sessions, do the physical aspect as far as doing the run, the push-ups, the sit-ups, and all that stuff. If you recall, I was given permission to hire 4 retired officers that come back to help us out with the backgrounds. That has helped out immensely, a great program. We was able to hire them very quickly through our HR, and they hit the ground running because they already knew how to do the job. So give them a phone, give them some paper, and they are good to go. So we're currently, we're pushing through, and we reported a couple other times that we have to look at about 600 applications in order to get down to 20 or 25 people that we can put through the academy. And every time becomes a little bit more and more challenging every time out there because of drug usage, because of other criminal offenses, high-end debt, I mean, you name it, there's a whole lot of reasons out there. We're actively recruiting. We're going down to Camp Lejeune. I don't know if I pronounced that right. We're hitting the military establishments because we also tweaked our requirement there that if you don't have the if you don't have the education of the college, but you're at the rank of E5, which is equivalent for the most part across the military applications of sergeant, we'll take you. We want you. We think those the guys that have served our country proudly that we should be giving them an option to get them on board. And we also have the 6 positions that we recently received from federal granting. So we're looking at those. I would love to maybe fill those 6 positions with 6 military guys and girls. So we are making headway, and we continue to push on. And I always ask, please pass it on. I was just at a career day down at Deltec, and I was one of the few chiefs that stood up and said, I started my opening remarks, I'm hiring, you know, at Deltec level. So that's a good thing. We're taking applications, where a lot of departments in this country aren't able to say that. So, progress.
I guess I'll go to Councilwoman Kilpatrick first.
Thank you.
Then I have a question.
I'm sorry. Just as an FYI, in the 3rd District, we've done 3 crime meetings within the past 3 weeks. Yes. And every time either the county executive or the chief mention that they interview 600 people to get down to 20, I get emails after that saying they must be lying. There's no way that they can interview that many people to try to get 20. And I think some of that goes with the criteria, you know, that we're, and this has been said, that we're looking for good people and they're not going to lower their standards because that shows once these men and women are on the street. But I can't tell you the number of people that have said to me, they said that wrong, they couldn't have really meant that, there can't be that much drug use in the area. I mean, it's just, you know, these people are living in a different world. Right. They just do not understand who's out there thinking that they should be able to have some of these jobs and really shouldn't be able to have them.
Absolutely, and very, very good points made. Councilman Cartier?
No, I just want to applaud the police efforts to recruit, you know, veterans or people in the military immediately leaving. And as I spoke here at the table, at that time, the Joint Chief of Staff, you know, man in charge, Admiral McMullen, came to NACO and pled with county governments to hire veterans. So I'm really happy to see that we're making the effort to do that in our police function. And I think, you know, as we go forward across county government where we have vacancies, you know, we should really be looking at the veteran community, especially as we're going to downscale the active duty force. We're concluding the, you know, engagement in Iraq and Afghanistan to follow. There's going to be a plenitude of folks out there looking for other careers. So I just applaud the effort you're making, and I hope you're successful with that.
Thank you, sir.
Councilman Redd.
Thank you. Chief, I had to step out for a couple of minutes on another issue. I don't know if you said it or you did say it, any ready cops that we hired?
That's an excellent point. We are looking currently at two right now that are in the process. And it is a feeding frenzy out there because our departments are looking at our people, we're looking at other departments. So two right now, and I'm looking at, I don't care if it's one, two, three, if we can get them, they're interested in us, and they're a good grab, they go through the same background. Because I don't want someone else's, I want somebody that's running from problems, they're looking to come to another agency, and that happens a lot. And if you looked at the ratio as far as ready cops to, probably about the same percentage works out. We might have 15 that might apply, we might take one or two. Because the other ones are, hey, I have too many IAs going on, I had this and that. It's like, eh, we don't need that problem. You keep that over there. So we're being selective, but there are some good people out there. I came over from Ellesmere 23 years ago, and I was trained by military vets, so program works out.
Thank you. Other questions from council? Wanted to just take a minute to highlight something, and that's the fact that and we've said it before, I'll continue to say, Co-Chairman Street, I know other members of council have said it, do a tremendous job. We have an outstanding reputation, our county police department, but we're still in the reactive mode, not the proactive mode. You've got 21 in class, you've got 29 vacancies, not counting 10 additional, okay, that are off on the job injuries, military, and you've got 51% by the end of 2012, another 51, not 51%, 51 that can retire by the end of 2012, one-third of the department by 2016. I say it loud and clear, want the administration to hear it loud and clear as we go into the budget hearings, is that we talk today about economic growth, economic development, talk about infrastructure. The infrastructure with law enforcement, we're behind. And we're constantly, and to your credit, and to the men and women of the police department, constantly with HR trying to recruit, retain. But we've got, you know, when we were at the retirement dinner, we've got folks that are retiring at a younger age. They're moving on to other type jobs. It's a different type of policing out there today. And it's a type of policing that people, when they get their age and their time, they're retiring and are moving on. And so I'd like to have some commitment. I think this council needs to have some type of commitment from the administration as to what happens in May. 21 comes out, still 29 down, 51 can retire by the end of the year. Are we going to prepare to have a class either start right before or right after this class gets out? And we need to get back to what they did a few years back, and you were here, was that they had a power type class, and they had back-to-back classes until we got back up to staffing. There's not one of us to go to community meetings that don't hear the accolades for our police department, but the concerns over proactive community police and visibility, things that are happening today that, you know, they're having to fend for themselves sometimes. And the bottom line, it goes back, Joe Lavelle said it very well from the FOP, you've highlighted it before, is officer safety. When you got 15, 18 cars on the street, there's no backup coming a lot of times. And so our officers are out there fending for themselves. Some agencies have two car or two officer cars.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we can't even put the numbers we need on the street. So I just, as one of the co-chairs and advocate of public safety, I just want to make sure that the administration hears loud and clear, we need to have some path forward as to when is the next class. And I know how hard you struggle, but you're out there trying to get the ex-military, retired military, ready cops. I agree with the Councilwoman Kilpatrick as far as our standards. You know, we don't want to lower standards. We have an outstanding police department, but we cannot go on in this county with less than our numbers of officers that we're supposed to have. And I just, maybe I'm venting on that, but you can't say it sometimes. I know that you explain and you express the thing on numbers, but I hear it a lot of times from the folks out on the street. And they're there several minutes when they have a crime in progress where there's, in some cases, nobody even coming to back them up. So we're in troubled waters. We need to try to work on, it's great having a class, but where do we go from here? And we can spend money on other things. we need to direct the attention to the vacancies and try to have a power type class or a back to back. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but you know, I know in previous years they would either have a class going right before the class ended. I think in one case might have had simultaneous classes, but and like I said, I know that you know you're in a managerial position. You try to do the best you can do with what you have to work with, but I'm looking more towards the administration making a commitment that we need to have a class ready to go when this class gets out and try to get our numbers up. So that's where I'm coming from. Just as
I'm dedicated to try to make it right the best way we can.
Greg Wilson, County Attorney and Acting Chief Administrative Officer. I thought the Colonel had been fairly clear. We're in full-time hiring, but we have not stopped from filling that last class. And there's a balance between having a class of five tomorrow and having a class of 20 in whatever date we get that. So at this point, we are moving forward. We have the same enhanced hiring mode going in that we have additional part-time officers. They never went home after the last class. They're out interviewing. And as we've said, you got to go through a lot of applications to get a class. You have to have a class of sufficient size to make sense to have the class. So it doesn't do us any good to have the next class only be five people and not deal with the hole that we're filling. On the other hand, we don't want it to take too long to fill. So that's the balance. They're hiring as fast as they can, as the chief had said, and we'll update further as we go along and see how our numbers are going. But make no mistake about it, we're in full hiring mode, as I thought the Colonel would try just to say.
Understand, I can appreciate that, but I think that we need to set a timeline too, that you know, if you know that May, when the class gets out, we want to be ready for another one and what the numbers are. I think we just keep working at it, but I haven't heard any commitment to another class starting in May if we can get the numbers.
We haven't committed to the date, but we are hiring for another class. Okay. That's otherwise it would be pointless to be going through what we're going through.
I appreciate that. Any other questions or comment from council? Anything from the public? Any question, concern, Councilman Craig?
I just want to reinforce what the chair has spoken about today. And I know that I work very closely with the county police in my district. And I hear from all the time that, you know, a massive amount of retirements coming on. You know, it's a sort of a generational shift in this police force. And we got to have the hiring process to keep pace with that. And, you know, I'm glad, I'm encouraged to hear all the things I've heard, but, you know, are we matching the amount of retirements going on with the amount of recruiting and hiring we're doing? That's the bottom line for me, and I'm not really totally clear about that.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Smiley.
I'm clear on one thing. If you want to meet what everybody wants as far as hiring and having them in the network and doing the class, you're going to have to cut your requirements, and I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, there aren't enough qualified people there stepping up, wanting to become county police officers, paramedics, or anything else. That's it in a nutshell. You're going through 600, and as many, we can say, hire those coming out of the military, hire those coming out of here, hire those coming there. They all come with issues as well. Just because you get 200 come out of the military doesn't mean all 200 are going to pass muster for the police. I heard you loud and clear. You got people out there, you're constantly recruiting, you're constantly moving forward. All you can do is search. All you can do is outreach.
That's where extensive background exams come into play. And it's the same for someone with a PhD, a master's, or someone from the military, or someone, you know, somebody's crossing over from a paramedic or something like that. They're going through the same background, they're taking the same polygraph. You're exactly right. We still want the cream of the crop. I mean, we might have to tweak, and we have tweaked in the past, get to where we are right now, but the pool's tough.
The mindset, people wonder, as Councilwoman Kilpatrick said, you know, they got to be lying, there aren't that many people. I fall back on the one where the guy called me and was adamant he was being discriminated against because he wanted to be a county police officer, he wouldn't even address him. I went out, I sat down with him, and it all boiled down to, it was none of our business why he left his last job. That's a big issue.
Have to make that our business.
But he still applied and thought he was being discriminated against because he couldn't get into the class. But it was nobody's business why he left his last job. That is a big issue. And little something like that doesn't mean anything to that person, and he's running around telling everybody he's being discriminated against. But that's the stuff that you deal with, along with the drug abuse and everything else that's out there. So we just need to, you know, just keep pushing along and hope that next class of angels graduates and comes to us.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions, comment, public comment? Colonel, thank you very much. We appreciate
it. Thank you for
it.
Your support.
Appreciate it very much. We'll go to other. Any other items to be discussed today, either from council or anything from the general public? Okay. So that covers public comment. Motion's in order.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made and second adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No carry.
I had a constituent come up to me at the drag, playing my drag, I pointed at the drag.
So, 14 minutes.
What's over, Jordan?
This is, I mean, after a while.
I went to four questions.
Situations that aren't. Oh, no, he's not.